And we're live.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
So welcome everybody to the second, is it second or third day already now of the season?
Day three, no?
Day three, yeah. Of our solar punk adventure. Now it's more turning into lunar punk. We see the sun is rising and the moon is coming. So welcome moon. I am here joined by my extraterrestrial friend, Dr. Pod Moses. Who is here to talk a little bit about extraterrestrials and the work that they're doing here in Berlin and in Metropolis, as you call it.
Yeah. Here from Metropolis.
Yes.
This was a very quick setup. This doing virtual streams is not our favorite format, but we really wanted to try to do something dramatic. Emotional, perhaps. I'm going to improv with this discussion, but somehow for me, the streaming medium is not capable of transmitting what probably needs to be communicated, but we'll give it our best. And we did very quickly. Normally we would do either a format called Citizen Kino, which is an interactive cinema, a kind of hacking of cinema. Or as you see on this backdrop, we are also, during Corona times, we started a live radio stream going back to our pirate radio roots. And this website might be useful because we will put notes up on a chaos pad, a notepad there, which I will reference some things that I might not be able to get into too much in depth. So if you want to look at links of things related to what I talk about, go to check out that site and go find the chaos pad. So, and just to say, I'm really happy that you all could set up for our thing so quickly. And thank you to the tech and Julio so much. And I so wanted to dialogue with the cyborg girls, and I hope we will get a chance to do that. But maybe some of the things I say will be a little bit, you know, something to think about these two presentations together. I think there's a lot that we will, there will be a dialogue somehow, I think, even if it wasn't going in real time. Mm-hmm. And to create the dramatic opening atmosphere, I wanted to start with this trailer of a Czech sci-fi movie from 1963. And if you could go with that, Julio.
Yes, for a second. Coming right up.
I think it's going good.
Uplynou léta a děti se budou učit, že jsme byli první, kteří se vydali do vesmíru hledat život na planetách Alfa Centauri.
Se ve vesmíru už nemůže nic nového objevit. Může.
Pozor, třetí paluba, pozor, ležící člověk, pozor, neodpovídající člověk, mrtvý člověk, mrtvý člověk, mrtvý člověk.
Člověk,
I think that mic is back on. And so here we are. I'm Dr. Podmosis from the XL Terrestrials. And the talk that we want to present is Solar Punk versus the Hyper-Industrial Hamster Cage Complex.
Hamster Cage Complex.
Hamster Cage Complex. As you might have noticed with all of these virtual environments since the corona lockdowns, we are being deeper and deeper immersed in the hamster cage complex. Yeah. And this is something really, really like something that needs to be discussed. I hope that there are other sessions at the Congress, RC3, dealing with the complexity and the very dark situations that we have. I mean, here I am in this bizarre kind of anonymizing mask, but also because of somehow we are locked into this pandemic narrative. And this is something that we would like to analyze. Julio, yes, is putting on his device. And all of this is kind of, to me at least, and to the XL Terrestrials and the work that we are doing, we've been analyzing the technological environments for quite some time. They have not been going very well. We are creating more and more techno-dystopian situations around us. And as I was trying to think about how to describe the dire situations that we are facing, I mean, we can be funny about it, but this is not a game. I mean, we are in deep shit. Our society, our planet, human beings, other all of species on planet Earth are in deep shit. And we're not so techno-optimist that, you know, there's some techno-fix to be had in this situation. What we need to do is reclaim our terrestrial being. We're not so techno-optimist because we're being techno-colonized, you know, techno-fix. So to explain this story, I thought I'd start with reclaim a good our terrestrial being. That the first Chaos Congress that we participated in was the 22C3, which is, I believe, is it 15 years ago? And we went with a lot of cynicism. We were not really excited about the hacker culture because we felt that, having seen what was happening on the lost coast of California, where some of the XL Terrestrials were operating prior to that,
aka San Francisco,
yes, the birthplace of the Silicon Valley beast, and that is very much a military-industrial complex seed, which also needs to be constantly brought into the analysis if we're talking about where we are going from here with technologies, with tools, in this digital, the internet environments, all of that. So so this anecdote from 22C3, one of the things that remains very, very fresh in my mind still, was someone coming to present and talk about Second Life, which was a creative enterprise in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. And this guy, Corey Andreska, I believe, I don't know his last name pronunciation-wise and don't have it in front of me, but Corey Andreka, maybe? I'll put that in the link because I think it's really interesting to look at, even just from a quick surface look at his Wikipedia. He was working for Linden Labs, but he had already been working for things like the Naval Academy, U.S. Naval Academy, military, and I believe possibly CIA and NSA, I forget which exactly. And here he was now a big player, one of the co-founders of Second Life. Ooh. And then I'm like, I kind of butted heads with him. You know, it was one of these moments in encountering as a kind of XL Terrestrial journalist looking at, okay, what's going on at these chaos communications congresses? It's been around for 22 years, you know? And here they are featuring Silicon Valley types in the midst of their hacker world, which is, you know, a fascinating thing to do. And he was very enthusiastic about this Second Life thing, which for us as arts and activist organisms was, we were already making lots of jokes about the Second Life and what that could bring. And the irony of this is that now here we are 15 years later, and we are having to participate in a Congress where we need to be thinking of deep thinking about solutions, organizing our communities. And this is kind of turning into a Second Life version of Chaos Congress, because we can't meet in person because of this pandemic. Yeah. And you can't necessarily directly blame that on the technological environments. But then, yes, maybe you can. Our technological world has been burning up the planet in a way, our technologically dominated society. And we've been going in the wrong direction with technological tools for quite some time. And, you know, take the whole fossil fuels industry, this hyper-industrialization of life forms. And you know, I was kind of curious. I had to look and find out, what is Corey doing today, 15 years later, you know? And it seems like he kind of cashed in on his networking value. And he went on, actually, he's not presently there, but he was like chief officer or president of the engineering for Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, another kind of you could call that a kind of Second Life game, evolved in another way, more with even more vulture claws and vampire teeth to get at your data, to make money off of your data, to make, you know, to profit off of our communications, which are super necessary if we want to organize our society to do the right things, to build commons, to build community, to build a good life for all. We're not going in that direction with the technology, because the corporates really dominate, you know, what can we say, like 90% of digital culture stuff, maybe worse than that even. Of course, there's all kinds of web stuff, dark web, they say. There's so much that we don't, you know, easily encounter. But we're, as I say, you know, the situation is very, very bad, you know. And I often, over these years, I keep coming back to CCC, hoping, and there's always fantastic presentations, I have to admit, but there's also a large percentage of it that are just not really clued into the terrestrial dilemmas. And it took the Hacker Congress, CCC, maybe even they were the first to do this. They did a conference 2 years ago now, I think, or called Bits in Boima, which finally, after like 30 some years of doing Hacker Congresses, suddenly realized this is a really important topic, what we are doing to the environment. And so I just wanted to begin with that anecdote, because I feel like we need to have a really critical approach with how to proceed, you know? And this Czech sci-fi film is not a happy film, you know? It's based on Stanislav Lem. And Stanislav Lem was writing in the midst of the Cold War. And brilliant thinker. I'm not a Stanislav Lem expert, but I feel he was on the right track to really warn us about things that are going on. So take a look at that IKEA BX1 film. I'm still studying that myself. It's very new to me, but then I realized, hey, wow, this was 1963. It had an influence on 2001. Stanley Kubrick kind of even, you know, took that to make his version of this film in a way, before all the Ridley Scott sci-fi, even before Solaris. Wow. So kind of maybe gave Tarkovsky his, you know, hey, I got to make one of these too, and Solaris is a fantastic story as well. So where to go with that? I back up a little bit and just say, so the XL Terrestrials have been working a lot the last years on another platform, this interactive hacking of cinema. If we could bring up maybe some of the, we make posters for each show. Maybe that'll give you a taste of some of the things. This was already a few years ago. I thought this was, I just grabbed some at random. We're now up to episode 88 or 89, I think. That one before was almost like a pre-Scient, you know, this guy wearing this mask. And I forget which film that's from. Unfortunately, I don't have these notes in front of me. But what we do with Citizen Kino is to take this over-mediated world that we're in and try to hack it. So it's not so much just about what we screen on the films in a movie theater setting. We're there to take it apart, you know, do some deconstruction, do some situationist kind of picking it apart, culture jamming, and we show clips, and then we engage the audience, and sometimes that takes some theatrical forms. We're still working on that aspect, but we feel like we need to really put on something very dramatic and emotional so that people get in the right zone to think about how to respond to our crises at the moment. Mm-hmm. So
you mentioned to me once that the idea of Citizen Kino is to digest media collectively.
Yes.
To analyze it collectively, mm-hmm. as opposed to, because oftentimes we all see these films, we all get all this media, and we all understand many things, but we don't really talk about it to another person because we're so alienated in our devices. So
yeah.
It feels like, I've been to a lot of them, so it's a really nice space to come together and look at things together and then make a discussion.
Yeah.
Right?
And plus, part of that, even now more important than when we started almost 15 years ago with Citizen Kino episodes, is that media is becoming even more cubicalized. Well, we're being more like, oh, I watch this in my individual box zone, in my personal screen, my personal device. Mm-hmm. You know, part of the hamster cage complex has even taken the power of what cinema can do, mm-hmm. and put it into this very, very, you know, and that's highly problematic. So when we definitely find the need to make a live event out of presenting these films.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you can feed back, you can ask questions about the clips that we show. Sometimes we even, you know, challenge the audience in weird ways and go out into, you know, force them to participate in some ways. There are, during these shows, there are guinea pigs, the way possibly, you know, like Facebook is using you as a guinea pig, and these social media platforms are using us as guinea pigs. We do it in a much softer nature, you know, the guinea pigdom, the world of guinea pigdom that we are in these technological environments. We like to come over to you and say, hey, I know that film was very harsh, you know, but let's have a conversation.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we try to be warm and cuddly, even if we are like trying to smash
the capitalism,
and corporate capitalist players.
And hopefully also the nation state.
And the nation state is another factor. We have dealt with some shows related to that in many ways. Yes. So Julio is a fantastic participant in Citizen Kino, and we have the honor to have his presence. And maybe, this is a very recent one. And we did this one actually at the Rotor Salon,
mm-hmm.
In Volksbühne, where we thought actually Solar Punk was going to be based in the Rotor Salon. And this is for Transmediala, and we were discussing the 20th anniversary of Indie Media Network, where...
What is Indie Media?
Indie Media is a platform that grew out of the anti-globalization struggles, these like WTO meetings, mm-hmm. and G8 meetings and G20 meetings.
In Seattle. And
Seattle. Seattle is when Indie Media was...
Uh-huh.
There were ideas already bubbling. And then Seattle was the first time the website actually functioned, where gave you, the citizen, or whatever, you know, consider your, whatever, if you're non-citizen anarchist, and give everyone the possibility to report on the news and tell what's happening in the streets, because we know the corporate media lies to us all the time. So let's tell our own version of what happens in the streets, or let's tell our own version of what's happening with the crises of the pandemic and the way it's affecting our communities, and not listen to what the corporate agenda has to say about, like, go pay for your tests. I don't want to get into pandemic
giving
details.
Loans, yeah, giving loans to go south,
let's celebrate Pfizer for having produced a very expensive vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, these kinds of things. This is not the way me and you, my peers or our other extraterrestrials are going to discuss what's going on with this. But so that was that show. Won't go into too much detail on that. Maybe it's another slide will bring up some topics there. It was just to give you a flavor of, we always come up with these images for posters. Yes, we've done a lot about the military-industrial complex. And now we're shifting gears a little bit to talk less about the military-industrial complex, but then there was a phase where it was called the military-entertainment complex. And now I think we are in the hamster cage complex. And we really need to address that. And I hope there's people here at the CCC and all over this beautiful, sometimes green, sometimes blue planet that's getting turned into a gray goo muck desert. We're gonna turn it into a desert if we don't figure out how to stop this hyper-industrialized way of living. And so I saw that Cory Doctorow gave a talk about, hey, the techno-optimists were wrong. I'm gonna have to catch up on that, because Cory for us has been quite a technotopian. And we never really bought into the optimistic, of course we all need to work with these tools, but it's pulling us in a gravity,
yeah,
this techno-dominant culture,
yeah,
into the abyss.
Yeah.
You know,
we were just mentioning behind the screen that it felt like as if the skeleton, the technology of our bodies, is wants to leave our bodies and just leave us without the framework, right? It just wants to take over somehow, pretend that it can live forever and, you know, transcend the...
Like this Ray Kurzweil thing, who became like one of the chief pioneer, I don't know what his position, at Google.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when this loony ideas guy who thought, oh, we can download our brains into the machine,
mm-hmm,
suddenly like has this power of being the part of the most powerful company. It's like, hey, we really need to know what these people's vision for their future are. This is not happening democratically. Maybe I don't agree that I don't feel like it's a good idea to download myself into the machine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel myself as an extraterrestrial first, as an anarchist in there somewhere, and as an organism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we are organisms that might not be compatible with this, the idea of the cyborg. I think we need to question that a little bit more. I'm not a Haraway enthusiast. I feel like there's something that she pushes that, yes, this hybrid is what where we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say we need to pull back and really deal with, like, if we can't deal with poverty in the world and people who just don't even have the bare necessities to function as an organism, we can't keep pushing this hyper-industrialization on top of it. It's just making some people super rich and they have everything, and yes, they can use these amazing tools, but it's also like devastating,
yeah,
for the people at the low levels. So, you know, until this power of the technology could be equally distributed, you know, it's like sort of a Gibsonian thing.
Yeah.
But we're not going anywhere near that direction.
Mm-hmm.
We're going in a hideous, hideous path towards the Bezoses, the Elon Musks, and Bill Gates of the world deciding for us what technology should look like,
mm-hmm,
what tools we're going to use.
Yeah.
I mean, this as many beautiful things as we can do. We can stream and do this. This computer interface is a is a business, like a, it looks like something that should be in an office building. You know, this is not a beautiful, like a violin. It's not a piano. It's not a something you would want to caress. Mm. It's a fucking office tool.
Yeah.
And this, we get this version of the technology because these motherfuckers in Silicon Valley, which came, their money came from military industrial complex.
Mm.
You have to look at the history of cybernetics to realize where all this venture capital was coming from to create the environments we had now have.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't really feel even, I'm not even that inspired to like say, let's reclaim these fucking office tools.
Mm.
I'm more like, let's reclaim our terrestrial being. And if we don't reclaim our terrestrial being, we're just going to be in wars, fighting over the basic necessities that everyone needs to live, right?
Mm.
So this is a really tricky dilemma. We can't just come here and be, you know, enthusiastic about what we can do with these tools. There's something else that needs to be grappled with, and I don't have you know, this is not a really well prepared talk. I don't have answers for this. I'm just saying this needs to be, you know, this needs to be thrown into the CCC debates more vociferously.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because it's not really there enough. Right. I mean, there are amazing talks and some people who kind of are aligned with our XL Terrestrials critique, but not, you know, not enough on the main stages, not enough as the focus of the debates perhaps, and certainly not, the stuff is not in our power at the moment.
Yeah.
We're so far away from being at the steering wheel of something.
Mm.
The corporates and all of their fucking plundered money are driving this thing off some kind of weird cliff, and we need to have strategy for that, like emergency. This is an emergency. Every year I go to CCC, it feels like a fucking emergency.
Mm.
And I don't really see the, you know, we need to be pulling the fire alarm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the planet's fucking on fire.
Yeah.
And there's people drowning in the Mediterranean. I know there's some amazing talks related to them. I'm so happy. CCC is aware enough, you know. Mm-hmm. CCC is probably the best conference, possible conference we could be going to talk about these things, and yet still we even have to push CCC further.
Yeah.
I mean, think about what shitty conferences are going on in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. Do they have anything like CCC? No.
Probably not.
The hackers would be like, like trying to scrounge together, you know, stuff in a hack lab, and you know, maybe 40 people come to see something at NoiseBridge, Hack Lab. I mean, fantastic. We need Hack Labs everywhere. But, you know, in terms of, like, getting at the steering wheel of where society is going with these technologies, there's a lot of work to be done. And urgent, yeah. As urgent as you can imagine. I don't know what time we're at here, but...
we have, 20 more minutes.
20 more minutes, okay.
I would say, no, actually 15 more minutes. We have a couple of clips also.
Yeah, it's really hard to do the citizen keynote thing in this environment.
Yeah, I
will put some clip links, mm-hmm. because I would like to, I will just mention Bernard Stiegler,
mm-hmm.
who passed away sadly in August, mm-hmm. From previous medical conditions, as I understood, that he was facing some not good things. And his work, he kind of is combining an analysis of the cybernetic world,
mm-hmm.
with the Anthropocene.
Mm.
And we also with Extraterrestrials have been dealing with the Anthropocene, and that's like, you know, to put it in a nutshell, if you're not that familiar with the Anthropocene theories, it's like we are creating a human-made environment on planet Earth, turning it into what we as humans see for what our realities are, what we need for our needs, and at the, you know, and at the same time, sort of destroying the ecosystems for all other species. And this also gets really, really emotional if you think about like what crises we're in. We are probably in the most we're in a techno-fascist moment.
Yeah,
you know,
because extinction in life, basically, yeah. In the history of life.
Yeah, yeah, but this crossroads has never probably has happened with maybe Ice Age or something, you know. know. But this is a man-made, and I will say man-made in this case, because it's a patriarchal ugliness. System of domination, techno-colonialism, as I say. And if we don't resolve this and take sort of the some kind of recourse or retreat or something to heal ourselves and the planet, this techno-fascism could be like the worst thing we can't even imagine how vicious this thing could turn. And so we need some plans. Won't have those for you this evening. I have to apologize. Not so many plans, but okay. And just to finish off with Bernard Stiegler, take a look. It's this dense French theory, but he is talking about also, just to grab something from this lecture that he did, an interview with Zero Books. He mentions this weaponization of financialized technology and financial systems.
Mm.
It's weaponized.
Mm.
So in the same way that we say, you know, Amazon has weaponized the internet to really just like a vacuum cleaner suck all of the wealth out of all of our labor in the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the way that it's been weaponized, and it's been functioning like a very well built machine, but it's not, you know, it's not what we would want for machines, as to try to point out. So we have to confront this.
Yeah.
This doomsday kind of machine things that are totally predatory, which, to come back to why I'm anonymized this evening, is that we should not be at CCC right now thinking that, well, we can all be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not when we're in this predatory environment. If I'm only giving you half of what I'd like to say, and I'm anonymous already, you know, semi-anonymous. If we gathered here in a room and I was discussing all of these topics, you know, I could go deeper into, like, you know, the things that we are threatened by and how we need to respond. But I can't do that on a Zoom stream or a something that's going to be archived, and, you know, this is unrealistic.
Mm.
So I don't understand that we're obeying this Zoom culture. You know, no offense to anyone. I understand the practicalities, and not everyone has tech skills, myself included. Excel terrestrials really don't like to spend a lot of time figuring out the tech shit, and we always love when we have good technicians to work with, and we appreciate those ninja skills. But for me, it's almost like a instant nausea feeling of trying to navigate these environments. But why are we obeying this? You know, this, okay, it's pandemic lockdown, we have to be safe, we have to be careful, but this hamster cage thing is accelerating.
Mm-hmm.
We are being cubicalized, captured, and this is going to have implications, because we need to be working against these corporate agendas. But the more we get pushed into the hamster cages,
yeah,
you won't even be able to move your little paw to grab a glass of water or whatever, to smack that CEO in the face.
Yeah.
You won't have any room to get any swing motion, you know, to punch this motherfucker who just became the trillionaire. Whatever. So, you know, be careful about how deep you go down the hamster cage hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. You know, just, I want to warn you.
Yeah.
I want to warn you people out there. These hamster cages are not for humans. They're not for hamsters even. Let your hamster go run wild in the parks. You know, don't try to keep a hamster as a pet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not a good idea. Mm-hmm. Unless you live on a farm, which leads me into my next subject.
Yeah.
About reclaiming space, mm-hmm. land. There was a little bit of a land thing,
mm-hmm.
discussion I heard earlier,
mm-hmm.
or something.
Mm-hmm.
And this is crucial. And this is why we need more voices from the global south.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they know what it is to be with their feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We are like in the north, global north, we are becoming we're kind of ghosts, like electronic ghosts.
Mm.
You know, we're not living on the planet. So we need more voices from the Global South. I'm really happy to hear from Cyborg Girls because their attitude towards technology is so caring. And about the body, you know, we need to deal with this body.
Mm-hmm.
And so, great, these are the kind of communities we do need to strategize with.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have that dialogue more. What I wanted to, land. Here we are in Metropolis. It's, you know, like the Metropolis movie. This is, there's not a happy ending here. In this urban, hyper-industrialized plundering of our being, you know, we are being used for all kinds of things that just does not feel good, you know. And let's get out into nature more. Of course, we can't abandon the cities; they are an incredible resource. But we need some rotation strategies with land projects.
Mm.
We need to understand if you're a city kid, like some other extraterrestrials I know very well, you know, they grew up in cities. They don't know anything else.
Mm.
And we need to educate and let's have a farm just outside in Brandenburg and you know, let's be autonomous by making our own food and not have to spend money in a capitalist way to sustain ourselves. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the resources I wanted to use in this talk, and I won't have time to go very deep into it, and I also need to reread it myself, but Dennis Shep is a nice anarchist character who has written for Roar magazine an article fresh as of a few days ago, and I don't have the title of the article in front of me, but Roar magazine, Dennis Shep, and it's about projects that we can create, land-based, that exist outside of the capitalist zones that we don't want to be living in, these abusive, vampiric, parasitical systems. We can find our ways to exist outside of that in these small nodes, or these autonomous safe harbors, as if you could call them, pirates used to call them safe harbors. And he has a project called The Foundry, which is in northern Spain, Galicia. There's others, I'm sure many of the hackers know about, Calafu. And we need more of these. We need them everywhere. We need them just outside of our metropolis, unsustainable metropolis cities, so we can rethink anew. ZAD in France was a fantastic laboratory for how can we do this without any of you, you know, no shopping malls, no supermarkets. We're just going to go out, create our community in an anarchist zone. And defend that zone too, you know, it's still alive,
mm-hmm.
Zod, even though they got kicked really hard for trying to be
mm-hmm.
experimental and independent and anarchist,
mm-hmm.
they are still thriving. And we need more of these. We need them everywhere. There was a talk of trying to do Zod somewhere here when Zod was being attacked so heavily a couple summers ago. So I don't know, maybe you'll find some ideas in Dennis Shep's article. We hope to have him on Global East Radio to interview possibly even tomorrow night.
That's a good question. Because somebody just asked, how can we find out about next upcoming Citizen Kino situations?
Yeah, Citizen Kino is a bit dead at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's in hibernation during this corona mess.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do public events so easily, so it's on hiatus at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But to find out, unfortunately, we have to rebuild a website from scratch. But we hope to have an XL Terrestrials website again soon, or a Citizen Kino website. In the meantime, our most actual running project is the Global East Radio Kid stream.
Yeah.
So if you put up that initial slide as our backdrop, or that has our website, which is a super simple, you know, setup, really, really quick, just to get things going last March as Corona lockdown first round was happening. And if you go to that website, and again, this is really simple stuff, but there's a chaos pad, notepad. Mm-hmm. And there we make announcements of like when the next GRK shows mm-hmm. are going to happen. We will try to, we are scheduled to do one tomorrow, day 4 of Congress. Mm-hmm. Don't know if that stream in any way is going to link into the actual RC3 infrastructure. We have our own stream page and it's just radio. We like to avoid visuals.
As we can see.
yeah, sometimes. And, and when the situation seems to call for it. We have guests, we analyze different topics. Sometimes it's just music.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kind of
everybody.
We need our own to relax our own brains and enjoy the music. And that's participatory. We're also trying, like the cinema, to Citizen Kino, we want to make Globalista Radio Kit an interactive radio program. So we have this chat room in the Chaos Pass, and we can share links as we're talking about a topic. We can then say, oh, hey, you call us on this line. We'll, in real time. And then potentially our tech has not been working so well as
and I'm Maya Minder from Switzerland.
Need some
we are live
some,
broadcasting
collaborators. But like in real time, you know, we could be doing things like
together,
we're discussing this and somebody makes a comment
Taiwan,
and then instantly invite them in to
the
speak
OBS,
with us and
maybe,
on the stream.
And
we use Wire
Flore,
app for phone calls.
In Slovenia,
if you're interested, write to us on the
the
Chaos
have
Pad
open
and we can send you
our
Wire information.
The
right
role
now,
of artists
not making that public.
During the pandemic 2020.
I hope I haven't babbled
Which
on too much
nope.
here. If there's other questions,
arts,
and
artists working internationally,
I did forget to say the extraterrestrials are here to
well.
Decolonize your
they
planet.
They also have to
okay,
ship
great.
Our
and, that's why we came.
Okay.
That's why we came tonight.
Well,
we're trying to help decolonize. And, and then there was this other phrase I have just
but
one last thing on this.
The way
we are kind of living potentially
we
are turning our planet
but also the
into
different
a
perspectives
desertified
and experience we have as artists,
desertification
which
kind
then
of
tells a story about
and yet
how
you have like the richest people on the planet thinking like, oh, we need to go terraform Mars.
Yeah.
Well, what we're doing is we're terra deforming our own habitat.
No.
Our home. In order to do that, to have all the tech
mm-hmm.
to go make this extraordinary, possibly
colonial.
Kim Stanley Robinson says it's impossible
yeah.
for us to make it to Mars. You can read his. He has very scientific details about why he says,
yeah.
people, this colonization of Mars is not happening in our lifetimes. And anyway, we don't want to colonize another planet. That's really stupid.
We've colonized
enough. Manthropocentric thing to think of doing. You know, we want to, if we want to collaborate with organisms, other organisms or life, if it's out there, but hey, let's not go colonize another planet. So think about this, stop terra deforming our home, you know, and we gotta stop that. It's going to be up to us. Elon Musk isn't going to,
He's not gonna save
our backyard. He's not gonna save our kids. He's not saving me from my fucking landlord.
Yeah.
You know, so these motherfuckers.
So on that note, I would ask also because somebody's asking, what does solar punk mean to you?
Ah, thank you for asking that because I didn't mention the solar punk, but I really this resonated with me. The write up for the Chumbos. thank you, Chumbos, who gave us the call. And we are here because solar punk is, we extraterrestrials were very inspired by the punk scene and the anarchist punk scenes and solar punk. What a great culture jam of this game, Cyberpunk 2077,
mm-hmm.
which is, what is it? I don't know. I don't play these things, but it's kind of like a shoot 'em up, right? It's like it's got no intelligent, like terraforming messages. There are things to actually create in real space. It's all it sucks you into the virtual. It's like what's that Spielberg movie, Real Player One? You know, this is just advertising some kind of new product from these rich bastards who can produce this stuff. It might be fun, you know, environments. I loved Blade Runner as a little extraterrestrial, but there were many, many things that Ridley Scott got wrong with that movie. And if you haven't read Philip K. Dick's book, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Blade Runner
is a Dream of Electric Sheep.
Yeah, that was the book that then became known as Blade Runner. But it's a terrible adaptation. Don't get me started on that topic. But what back to solar punk
or lunar punk even?
Yeah, and lunar punk. Both of these, we in harmony. You know, we need both sides of those, like yin yang, probably, right? Mm-hmm. We need creative, collaborative energy, and we need also some cultures of resistance, militant cultures of resistance, to stop the devastation that we are experiencing. The victimization, the leaving people out in the drowning in the Mediterranean. This can't go on. So a punk attitude, yes, please, more of it. And thank you so much for having this, so that we can speak some truth. We can speak some extraterrestrial analysis. And sorry that I have to be in this. I didn't want to be in this contagious idea of hey, we can be transparent in these dangerous moments. And I don't think we can necessarily. Some things do, you know, we will have to show ourselves and meet together in physical space for sure. Don't hang out too long in the hamster cages. Build is even with whatever, playing safe with the pandemic narrative.
Yeah.
We need to try to organize face to face, being together, really, really great that we could actually come together and work on this.
Lovely.
And I don't know. We will try to have a roundtable discussion tomorrow night on GRK, and maybe we will discuss a bit with you after the last session of today. What's coming up?
So first, thank you so much.
You might have to speak a little louder.
Oh, can you hear me? Okay. No, I'm just saying thank you so much to Dr. Podmosis. Or
yeah.
Podinsky.
Or Podinsky, sometimes we come as Podinsky.
Sometimes you come as Podinsky. Thank you so much for your very, very inspiring talks, speaking some truth to power in these corona times.
Yeah.
We are very welcome here for the Solar Punk Embassy or Anti-Embassy. We're very happy to have you, and thank you so much for coming, and for everybody who was listening in.
Thanks. Honored to be here. Thank you so much for setting up so quickly.
Yeah.
Great resource here.
Yeah.
There's also like other more projects here that are happening that are blowing my mind. There's community commons stuff going on here that are good strategies. So.
And coming up, we have, I think right now we have an hour break, and then afterwards we continue with an internationalist from the internationalist commune in Rojava. We have an activist coming to us, talking to us about his experience in the south of Kurdistan. In the revolutionary times.
Looking forward to that.
And then we have Radio Cosmica. So we'll have again Melissa from Cyber Girls speaking to us about their DIY radio. And to end it, I will give a talk about what I call a pluriversal basic income. And that will be it for the day. So
hey,
watch out for that.
Yeah, I'm going to be around. I'm sticking around.
Awesome.